talk, nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make the world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. He's been suffering a freezing upper lip. He's the turkey whisperer. He's Spokane Brandon. Hi there, buddy.
Oh, man. I feel like I've lost my authority with the turkey since shaving the old turkey tickler. Yeah,
the turkey tickler.
They don't respect you anymore, Brandon.
Yeah. They don't see the brown stripe anymore, and they know that they can't.
You're not a brown angel any longer.
You guys, we talked about the brown stripe last week and what that led to.
We're still not sure if after having his head cut off, if he's getting a new robot body or a new robot head, or maybe some sweet alligator parts. He's our own Florida man. He's Siege. Hi, Siege.
What's up, guys? So for this week's 1 minute of chips, I decided to bring Flamin' Hot Tangy Chili Fusion Cheetos. Are we not doing that?
Oh, don't worry. I brought Baby Goldfish again.
I gotta go downstairs.
Gregor search around finding some chips.
It was this morning, actually. I was coming in to get my laptop to go to work or whatever, and I looked down on the ground, and there was a bag of chips on the ground still from the last time that we recorded. And I was like, you know, it's 5 something in the morning. I picked them up, and I was like, well, I started eating chips and walking around my house.
Might as well. All right, honest answers here. After the 1 minute of chips last week, who has since sharded their pants? Who has to reset the counter?
Not me.
Well, I guess I'm the only one. Damn, that spicy pineapple.
0 days without incident on the work site.
Exactly. I'm going to put a counter.
Brandon, if you
could
add that to the tablet, please, I would appreciate that to your whiteboard. Zero pods since incident. There you go. That's what I'm looking at.
I don't feel like for you, it's Gregor, it's that surprising for you to eat, because I like the chips at 5 a.m. because I feel like when I used to work at the station with you, it'd be like everybody else would just be getting there. You would have been there for hours already, and then everybody else is like going into the break room or the kitchen to get their coffee and whatnot in the morning, and then like you're in there microwaving spaghetti or meatballs or like it was just like,
well, first of all, like, oh yeah, it's pretty weird as a culture, the fact that we eat sugar for breakfast. That's like not normal, right? Like everyone else eats.
Oh dude, I had waffles for breakfast the other morning, and I was wrecked for the first 3 hours of the day.
Yeah,
not like my stomach. I just like the sugar rush that I got. It didn't feel right.
Siege is over there eating jalapeno pineapple and like, you know, like,
yep.
Yeah, it's even the granola that I have is wild to be eating that.
I mean, it's what 11 o'clock at night, and I'm drinking like Cuban coffee right now. God, so
what are you doing? Stop that.
I had a professor in college where his like opening day fun fact about himself was, I eat breakfast for dinner and dinner for breakfast every single day. And
well,
I was like, his logic behind it was like, oh, well, you need more calories for the day than you do at night, right? And I was like, okay, I get it. But like the concept of like waking up in the morning and preparing a pot roast doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah, a pot roast, that's a slow cooker deal. You're gonna have to start that the night before.
I'm all about breakfast for dinner, don't get me wrong.
I was amazed in Japan to see how many places were serving hot soup at 7 a.m
dude, yes,
that's awesome.
Yeah, just
I remember, yeah, Thailand, they were like, you would have like not exactly pad thai, but like a version of it for breakfast every day, and like dumplings and wonton. It was incredible.
One of my favorite things is leftover like Chinese food first thing in the morning. Like if I get like one of those giant, like, you know how they do the lunch portions and the dinner portions, and the dinner portion's always like for four people. So I'll get one of those, and then like the next morning I wake up and I got that nice like mixed soup, the half egg drop, half wonton soup right there in the fridge. Just throw that in the microwave, get it piping hot. Yeah, that's the way to start a day.
Oh, cold pad thai for breakfast is like probably my favorite.
Fried egg on Mexican food, leftover Mexican food is awesome too, man. It's it's just, we like just design our lives around it being easy to get like a breakfast bar, which is just like a sugar stick, and then you're like, all right, let's go. Yeah. And then you burn hot and you start punching coworkers that early. Yeah. So if I'm microwaving spaghetti at 7:30, let's go. Anyway. That's nice.
So, hi, guys.
None of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, you could potentially let us know what we get wrong, or even sometimes what we get right. Also, if you could tell a friend or write a review if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can write a review. I guess you can do it on Spotify, too. I really haven't looked. Or you can holler at us with the answer to this episode's question of the week.
Of the week.
It's 2023's question of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Question of the year, right?
Yeah.
If it has boobs, can you milk it?
I mean, we already learned the answer to this question, at least with whales, is yes.
So this comes...
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
This comes thanks to My Tuna, which is, I believe, Brandon's brother.
Yeah.
Who submits the answer to the question early. Best dinosaur with boobs, Stegosaurus, but instead of the bony plates along their back, boobs. Each one is now a boob. And of course, because I can't just appreciate something awesome, I'm like, Stegosaurus cheese then? Is that what we're doing here? Are we going to milk a Stegosaurus back?
You have to take it further on.
Yeah. So if you could hit us at nerdtalkplus.com, you'll find all of our links. Thanks to Siege for newly redesigning our landing page there. For that, really all it is a link tree that sends you to all of our socials and to where you can find the show. Brandon.
Oh, I just thought of a word when you said Stegosaurus, and we were talking like Smegmasaurus.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's are we still going cheese?
I feel like exactly. I feel like the talk of Stegosauruses and cheese made me really uncomfortable. And I didn't know why. And it's just because I had the word Smegmasaurus.
Smegmasaurus. Well, we finally got there. That's goodness. Good. We I'm trying to think of punny dinosaur names. And well, Brandon delivers.
Real big pun.
So before we get rolling, I have so much Terminator content. I'm like really on the Terminator kick right now, thanks to TikTok. I think I said this last episode, like some 25-year-old girls are just talking to each other on whatever social media, and one of them is like, you know what my favorite movie is? I just watched it for the first time last night, Terminator Godzilla. 2. And I was like,
what?
All right, go on. And so she goes, and the other girl is like, no, like, that's not, you can't possibly, I should pull this up and play it for us. Maybe I'll do that here in a little while when we get to the Terminator portion of the show. Because I definitely have a favorite because I was like, whoa, shout out to my friend Leslie who said, wow, the algorithm sure knows who they're, sure has you pegged. And I was like, hot chicks talking Terminator?
Hot chicks talking Terminator? Or was it the chess? Was it the chess that she was referring
hey,
to?
Hey, you guys can't bag on Chess Siege. I got you on the, I got you watching.
I know, you
the,
got me hooked.
The tour, Grand Tour Champion, Chess Champions Chess Tour, and it's intense.
I was walking in and out of a store. It was supposed to be like a 5-minute thing, go grab one thing and leave. And I spent 20 minutes in there because I was staring at my phone watching these guys do Armageddon matches. And then the one commentator, like, what's about to come on the board?
I was like, Siege. Yeah, exactly. He said Gerg.
Exactly.
Dude, it's really difficult because they have like chess grandmasters that are the commentators, so they understand what's going on and can think as quickly as the actual players do. But then they've got one of the three, she's only an international master, which means that she's not quite to the 2500 ELO, which is the rated EMF. So she's only a 2300 ELO, which is still mind-boggling. And she's
Bastards.
A babe. And so I'm like watching this like super nerd chick talk about chess, and then the two other guys are really good. And I'm like, wow, this is top quality entertainment. I've watched every day since the final started.
You've had me log on by myself without you even prompting just to keep watching this stuff later
it's
on.
It's fascinating.
Like once those matches were done.
It's so well produced. Yeah, it's...
Yo, they were just... The commentators really made it because, like, see, if I was sitting here just watching that all by myself, trying to figure that out myself, no way I would have been able to do it. But they were talking so fast. It was like watching, like... how people started watching F1 racing. You know, if you've never watched that before, and they're explaining what goes on in the car and this and that and everything else. And they were just doing it so calmly, but at such an exciting pace. I was like, oh, my God, is chess exciting?
Meanwhile, there's a guy with just his head in his hands like this, staring at the board for 3.5 minutes. Like, I don't know what to do.
Why is he looking at this like I look at it every time I see a board of chess?
But you're a grandmaster.
Is he also as confused as me?
And then he makes a brilliant move, and I'm like, whoa. Anyway, no, that's not what I was going to get at, but it was, I'm more interested to know yet another wild tale from the thoughts and brain of one Mr. Brandon over here. Brandon hits us with washed and dried my AirPods today. And I guess there's a backstory to it, but I thought about it, the AirPods going through the washer and dryer, which do you think is more punishing for the AirPods? And you guys both said the washing cycle is worse than the dryer going through it. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be like the water, electronics, water plus, you know, not good.
I was thinking the water and the detergents and everything else, and God forbid if you have like fabric softener in there, something caking up on the electronics. There you go. And I mean,
there's a rinse cycle.
Microphones and speakers works. Yeah, but I mean.
So when I was a kid,
it's hard to get out. I told somebody when I got to my office today, I said, I accidentally washed my AirPods. And she was like, I don't see what the big deal is. I was like, no, like in the wash.
Yeah, you didn't like wash your hands, then wash theirs. Like it was like
I didn't mean to like I didn't intentionally wash my AirPods using like water.
I didn't grab a
toothpick
and scoop the goo out of the ears.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's actually the most annoying part about all of this is I accidentally wash and dry my AirPods, and then we pull them out. Look, I didn't pull them out of the washer and dryer. My wife did, and
because
she was very mad at me.
Misogynist.
Right, exactly. And she pulls them out of the dryer, and the most annoying part about all of this is that I like pull the AirPod out, and I look in there, and there's still earwax in it. I was like, this is bull.
Yeah, it was when I hear this, like when I was 6 or 7 years old, I was watching TV in my parents' room, like kids do, you know, this far away from the screen. I was like face glued to the screen, but it was an old like early 1980s television. And so
says the guy who's now had the guy who's now had LASIK twice.
True. PRK, but yeah. And so I was in there, I put my glass of water on top of the TV, and then I went to grab it and I knocked it over, and the TV sparks shooting everywhere, and it was like an old like it's not like a computer chip TV. It's like an old, like
the old
circuit
tube
TV.
TVs
yeah,
with
yeah,
all
tube
the
TV
wires
or something like that. And like, so sparks go shooting out. The TV turns off. I just turn it off, grab the cup, and walk out to the other room, and just like, and I remember being really worried, but I didn't say anything to anybody. And then later on, you know, 3 hours later, when my parents went and turned on their TV to go to bed or whatever, it had dried out, and so it just came on and worked. And I was like, all right. So now when I hear about electronics going through the washing machine, I'm like, ah, it's no big deal.
It's all
but
good.
But the dryer, where you're applying sustained heat, like, heat's not good for electronics either, right? Like,
unless it's really wet.
Wait, what?
Like, if the electronics are super wet already, and they need to be dried, then the heat's a good thing, right?
The heat's
a
good.
The heat's a good. It's a good heat's a.
Yeah, all right, well. Yeah. That really baffled me. So, so... there's more to the story, or do we get it all?
I mean, like the backstory is that I'm a misogynist and it doesn't do my own laundry. No,
could you bring your wife in here and explain misogyny to her? Because I want some mansplaining too.
Yeah. Okay, this is a separate point. I'm jealous of both of you guys because I was thinking about the fact that you both have good nicknames. Like Gregor is. Is good and short for Greg Rampage, and also long for Gerg. And Siege is a good one too because it's like it's simple, but I've never ever heard you been called CJ or even just Christ. It's just always been.
No, it's because it's Christ.
Yeah,
according to his yearbook, it's Christ.
According to his yearbook, it's Christ. And I was thinking about my wife because I was like, oh, that's cool, like. Well, I mean, I wonder if there's a cool thing that you could do with, like, my initials, like, But then it's just beige, which is a problem.
Hey, it's all welcome to Nerd Talk Plus with Siege and Beige.
Siege and Beige. But then no, because then my wife is in the hair industry, and she does hair. The hair industry makes it sound like there's a lot of other things happening. Like there's the people who like manufacture the hair, and
Brandon's just digging himself a deeper hole.
She had to go by the name KJ, which are her initials, and so I call her Cage. That sometimes, and then every once in a while I call her Cage, which I'm like, man, that's Cage awesome. Would be a dope nickname. Like if you just walked in somewhere and everybody was like, hey, there's Cage.
Ain't no rest like, for yeah. the wicked.
Yeah.
Dude, anyway, that's like Mortal Kombat style name.
Yeah.
Catherine yeah. Cage.
Cage. Catherine the Cage. She
KJ Cage.
The story though is I have now. I was driving down the freeway in Seattle a couple years ago, and I had my iPhone that I had left on the top of my car, and I was going...
I remember this.
I've told this story before? Okay, then never
mind. No, tell it again. No. Other people don't know.
Oh, no. I was driving
it's
down
been
the,
years.
Yeah. I was driving down the freeway, and...
I only know because you texted us earlier about it. And I'm like, oh, I know what he's talking about now.
I left my phone on the top of the car, and at 70 miles an hour, it flew off the top of my... It took a while because they had the Magna or MAGA... Well, not MAGA. The MAGA. You know, the MAGA charger on the back. You know, it tracks you whenever you do a riot.
Make phones great again.
And it took a while because it was like stuck to the top of my car. And then at some point it flew off the back and I heard this go, and then I was like, huh, I wonder what that was. Kept driving a little bit. And then I was like, oh crap, I think that was my phone. And so we had to turn around on the freeway. Not on the freeway. We got off the exit. And then
No, I like the GTA version better.
Because my initial reaction was, it's gone forever. Like, I'll
never see that phone
again. Yeah, of
course, because that's the
reason. I'm not going to turn around and go get that. Yeah. And my wife was like, no, we have to... Cage was like... I'm never going to call her my wife anymore. Cage was like... Because it sounds like I have a cool sidekick, or I am the cool sidekick to a cool person. Cage was like, we need to turn around and go get that phone. And so we turned around. I was like, man, we're never going to find it. It's on a freeway. It's like 520. So super busy. Not on.
Ooh. She's like, did you
part.
Say you want a three-way? And you're like, no.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. Cage, don't do that.
Cage sounds like a cool nickname that Kurt Russell would have. So now I'm picturing you as Kurt Russell's sidekick.
In a three-way with your wife.
In a three-way with your wife.
sorry. That's not nice.
No, you guys, don't be sorry, because thing about Cage is that...
She's into the three-way.
She's into Kurt Russell.
Her celebrity crushes are always like... You'd be like, who's your celebrity crush? She'll be like, Harrison Ford. You'd be like, oh, yeah.
He's 80.
Like, you know, you'd be like, oh, yeah, like Indiana Jones. So cool. She's like, no. Harrison Ford now.
No. Regarding Henry, the one. Yeah. So the story checks out.
She's like, Liam Neeson now.
Guys,
we've drawn a string.
Kurt Russell is legitimately on her list.
Do you realize that I just made a movie reference from an obscure movie reference?
Yes. Like,
never me. But that's never perfect. Me. Congratulations, Greg. Good job.
The one movie that Greg has seen.
Regarding Henry.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so she made me turn around, and we got back onto the freeway, and... There, we saw in the median, not in the median, but like there was the exit and there's the triangle part. Yeah. I don't know what you call that thing, the separate. And it was in there. And so I like pulled over and I ran across the exit and I picked it up off the, and I didn't even look at it. I just like ran back to the car because I'm in the middle of the freeway.
Yeah, because
so
you're not highly illegal
to, like,
and super dangerous.
My phone.
Yeah.
Right. Allegedly, I did all of this. And if you're listening,
just
coppers.
Say I did it.
Cage made me.
Cage sounds like the copper. Like,
yeah. Cage is awesome.
Yeah, but she's the copper on the edge. And I got back in the car. Guys, like, not even a scratch on the thing.
What?
And then I dropped it from, like 3 weeks later, I dropped it from 2 feet in the air, and it shattered. The entire back of it shattered. But, like, honestly... That's why when I put I found out the AirPods went through the wash and the through all the laundry, and my wife was like, "Oh man, you ruined another thing." And because this happens frequently, you guys.
I was going to say, she'd say that
and
often.
I was like, nah, no. Put it in some rice cage.
You sound like you're a character in Point Break.
Right, nah. Cage.
Nah, man.
I was going to say Big Trouble Little China, but Point Break also works. Right in that era.
Anyway, I'm wearing the AirPods now. Yeah. That phone still works.
Oh, thank God you saved the pod. So,
whew. Yeah.
I don't know what we would do if you didn't. If they didn't work.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that Apple should pay me to advertise their stuff because I'll just break
no,
it.
No, but that's what everyone's looking for.
I'll just attempt to break
it. That's what
it,
everyone's looking for is that real-life influencer. This video, we'll just pull it straight from here, delete the part where I said the slur, and then just send it to Apple. We'll be good, right?
They might like that. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, delete that part. So jealous of your nicknames.
Okay,
Apple products don't break.
We'll come up with one for you, buddy. Okay, we'll figure one out.
We've even given your wife a cooler nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
I don't know, man. I kind of like Skin Squatch. I've added the nickname field in my phone to everybody. Yeah. So it's like it's got your real names, but then everything comes up as like your nickname. So like our group chat, Secret Buttholes, has Gerg and Skin Squatch in it with me. So
I often think that I should have gone with Gerg on the radio, but I'm actually really glad that I didn't. So it can be my alter ego when we do shows like this.
Yeah
and it makes it it makes it better, I think. Okay, well, I'm glad your stuff is okay, Brandon. That's nice.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you guys sound terrible right now, but hey.
That's the earwax, bro.
Audio's coming through.
Do not blame Apple on this one. Endorsement rescinded.
You got to go get a cotton swab and scoop all your Brandon juice bro, out of the ear.
Don't call it that. No.
My B-wax.
My B-wax.
Okay, so we're calling you B-wax from now on. There's like Bobby Wagner's B Wags and Brandon's B Wax. No, beer wax. There we go. That'll be the
beer wax. Yeah.
All right.
We gotta calm down, otherwise Cage is gonna bust in the door and tell us that we're yelling again.
Hey, I wasn't yelling in his house.
She kicked down my barn door.
Simmer down now.
Sorry, Cage.
First, a team of nerds figured out how to grow stem cells into computer parts. The idea being that while the human body might reject like a silicon chip, like it does a silicon boob implant, one made from our own goo could be used to fix our bodies. Yeah, a little beer wax. I mean,
it's the what's that, the cell that like the regenerating cell, Henrietta Lacks. You guys know that, the story of Henrietta Lacks? Have you ever heard that? She was this woman. She was a African American woman in like the 50s or 40s or something like that, who unknowingly had a cell sample or something, and it's called like the what do you call it, like the, when you can't die, immortal cell, like it, because it continues to regenerate, and they've been able to use it to study so many things, and her family was never compensated, and it was this whole thing. Now, if they use my bee wax, it'd be
why does bee wax seem like it's butt wax? Like, I don't know why. I can't
it'd be
stop thinking about
Henrietta Lacks and bee wax.
Hey, I like that. So
greatest rap duo ever.
The buddy cop movie you didn't know you needed.
New Scientist goes on to say that they one of the combinations they made is a biocomputing system consisting of living brain cells, and they learn to recognize the brain cells on this chip, learn to recognize the voice of one individual from hundreds of sound clips. They're literally teaching like a neural net how to function, like how to combine brain cells and robots to detect humans. And I'm like, you sure? You sure this is the move that we want to make right now? Is this? I'm sure there's a practical purpose to it, but it seems very scary.
They're going to put this in like one of those Boston Dynamics dogs, and it's all
bark, bark.
Yeah.
Now, so that was just the first story. I was like, okay, and I did a whole vignette on the radio with drops from, you know, the Terminator from Arnold Schwarzenegger, and oh, fun, ha ha ha. Then this morning, I hop online and I see A story about an Australian company. In 2024, a project called Deep South is going to switch on a neural computer that can do as many processes per second as a human brain.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, when I saw it was called Deep South, and I'm like, are they synthesizing a racist? Like, is it gonna just like use the N-word a bunch?
Microsoft already did that, first of all. Okay.
I thought maybe they were leaning into it, but then I realized that if you think about the globe from the way that we do all the maps, like, the true Deep South that's habitable is Australia, or maybe Tasmania, part of it, or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's the deepest South you get. So when they call it Deep South, I get it. I just don't think that they're as familiar with our brand. They have their own, but our brand of racism that they... But anyway, this is wild, guys. It's, like, to put this into perspective, a human brain does 228 trillion... synaptic operations per second. Brandon, are you okay, buddy?
I just say I like that we're assuming best intent from this Australian company called Deep South, but as soon as they turn this thing on and it goes, now listen here, y'all.
N-word, like, it's, N-word, N-word, N-word,
we're gonna be like, ah, oh, dang it, they told us who they were.
It just keeps going. What?
How do we do N-word in an Australian ass? N-word. N-word. N-word.
Is he saying nor? N-word?
Nor outward. N-word.
Wait, do you mean outward? It's going to come in. No. Oh, N-word. Oh.
Are you like internalized racism? Or it's like, no, N-word.
No. Direct.
I can't quite say it yet because they program me with asterisks over all the words.
So, okay, this feat that it can pull off is 228 trillion synaptic operations per second. So to put that into perspective, if you said hi to every single person on Earth, that would be 8 in 1 second. That would be 8 billion synapses that you would do. 225 trillion is 25,000 times more than that, or something to that effect. I Googled it. So per second, it's going to be able to do that. And it's a bunch of computer chips that are all working together to process how many times neurons fire across a network. They're like, what's to stop it from getting bigger and better than that? And secondly, you know how much like resource that takes to make all those computers work? Like, I have two machines running in the little home studio, and by the time we're done in here, it'll be too hot that I'll have to like walk out because it's too much. You're talking about enough to do 228 trillion synaptic operations per second. And somehow our stupid brains that make all these wonderful jokes, N-word,
inward.
Our brains that come up with outward and inward are not melting our heads off of our body.
I honestly think that we're giving our brains way too much credit. I don't think that we're making
specifically
that
present
many
company
decisions.
But even if it was a tenth of that, like 22 trillion synaptic operations per second, that's so wild. The scope of this is unbelievable. But Skynet and whatever the other word is for it, what's the other word? Skynet and Cyberdyne,
yes,
company.
Cyberdyne's
I made Skynet. Their whole thing is a neural net processor put into an Android, and so they shrunk it down to a chip like this or whatever, you know, from the movies when they have to destroy it and Miles Dyson has to. If you haven't seen it, that's on you.
Spoiler alert. That's spoiler alert. 1990
says the guy who's never seen a movie.
I've seen Terminator 2 at least 50 times, though. Right. So it's like, yeah, I see the important ones so that I can freak out 30 years later about how
Last
our own demise
hero
is happening. Oh, I've seen that a lot, too. I'm thinking the other one. What's the one with True Lies? Where he's on the Harrier and it comes up and he's riding on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get to the chopper!
Different movie, but yeah, pretty much.
Same guy. But no, didn't he say that in like every movie?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I want to watch True Lies again. I wonder if I'd be, like, weirded out by it now.
I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis, you won't be weirded out by anything.
Yeah, okay. I like the sound of that. All right. So, anyway, like, I don't... Maybe I freaked out a little too much that I read these two stories in back-to-back days or whatever, but that seems wild.
Oh. But there's another story that was just a couple months ago, and I remember just, like, bringing it up very briefly because it had something to do with this, too. And it ties into this, whereas... oh, guess what? The robots don't even need us to build each other anymore. In Northwestern University, an AI designs new robots from scratch in seconds. And they don't look like, they don't use any of like the pre-designed things, like where they would be like, you know, human looking or arms and feet. They design them on what they believe they need. So these things don't even look like animals, but these robots are, they're designed from scratch. Let's see. Researchers gave the system a simple prompt: design a robot that can walk across a flat surface. While it took nature billions of years to evolve the first walking species, the new algorithm compressed the evolution in lightning speed, designing successfully walking robots in mere seconds, and then built them by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's game over, right?
All we need, like, to do is combine Northwestern with the Deep South, which, God, that sounds terrible to begin with. And we will have just racist robots shooting everyone.
A bunch of passive-aggressive racist robots.
And we can get them their pet dogs from Boston Dynamics.
Yeah.
This is perfect, yeah. That's terrifying. That's the idea that the robots are coming up with better robots and then building them themselves. And, like, also, what's actually scarier, a Arnold Schwarzenegger bipedal robot that looks like a human that's coming around stomping on skulls, or something you've never even seen before or could imagine, like a hell beast that's coming after you because it's more efficient at murder or whatever its job is, to be fair? Yeah,
it's just insane because, like at least with a bipedal, like, robot, human looking, you know, type killer, you would at least recognize this is the thing that is trying to kill me. It was something that you've never seen before. You almost might be trapped and stared and mesmerized and like, how can this kill me? And next thing you know, you're like just eaten.
Yeah. If it looks like a human, you can put, you know, you can like tie its legs together and make it do funny little trips every time it's trying to chase you. And like,
I thought that was going a sex direction, but okay. Good.
I mean, and
we
then
can do
you
that
can
too.
No, I mean, like, you could do all sorts of the like Looney Tunes gags, or you could drop an anvil on its head and win the battles against the robots. But like, if it looks like a
shin kick it to the head if it's little enough.
But like, I always think about like the scariest robots from like any of the movies was always like the Wraiths in The Matrix. Because they're just like these crazy tentacle squids that like fly through the air after you, and like they can use all of those different, like, and that's what I imagine, like, when I'm imagining these robots, inventing robots that can do everything, I'm always like, I always feel like the more tentacles / like arms that they can create, they become more,
the hornier,
like,
Japan gets,
the way that they can climb. Yeah.
Octopi would rule the world if they didn't feel like just laying low and being secret about it.
You know how many of them we've ripped out of the sea, Japan, and then hacked up and eaten? Like, ooh, these octopus balls are delicious. Like, dude, they're like sentient, smart beings that are like...
It makes me very conflicted every time I... I've actually stopped eating calamari for that reason. You watch My Octopus Teacher or whatever, and that movie is like Octaganda.
That sounds terrible. It sounds scary. Have you... Oh, I know none of you guys have seen... I can't even think of the name of the show, but it's one of the new ones where he's an alien. He comes from outer space. He lands in, like, Colorado, and he has to take over the doctor's body. I'll tell you about it later. Never mind.
Men in Black.
Could be. Very similar.
Sugar.
He's an alien. He's an alien from another planet and happens to go into this, like, one restaurant that has, like, a big aquarium in it, and the octopus recognizes that he's an alien and starts communicating with him through brainwaves. It's amazing.
Yes.
It's now, you guys would actually love this show.
Professor Brian Cox was asked about that by probably someone as intelligent as Joe Rogan or something like that, and was like, well, I mean, what about octopus? They're so weird and different. And he was like, yeah, but you look at the DNA sequence and it's like more than 99% the same as ours. It's like clearly an Earth creature that developed the same way.
Resident Alien was the name of the show to check out. It's on Sci-Fi Network.
So it's like, while people want to imagine that the octopus are aliens that came here to take over our seas or whatever, unless they like spawned us, which would be dope if we were the descendants of octopuses. Yeah. I don't know.
You never know. Maybe they're sacrificing themselves in like a slow millions of years invasion of the body snatchers type scenario where
if we let them eat us and fatten themselves up, They'll eventually die of heart disease and we'll return from the sea.
And then they will control our brains. Or we will control their brains. See, that, my brain just does not fire on the same synapses as that robot.
Or as those octopus.
Or as the octopus.
Yeah. I'd love to know an octopus. Like, I wish we could get, like, a... Like, you know, like on that show with Jonathan Brandis where they could talk to that dolphin. It was the Sequest. That's what it was called.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And they could talk to a dolphin. I want that only with an octopus. I want to be like, what's up? And it's like, I'm going to kill you as soon as I figure out how to get out of this water. And I'm like...
Could you imagine?
What if the octopus was just like, "What's up?" You're like, "Oh, I thought it'd be kind of cool to talk to an octopus." He's like, "I mean, I guess I don't even really know you. I guess what's up?"
Then? You know, it's tax season, right?
Yeah.
Honestly. Takes off his octopus tie. He's like, "God damn it! I'm trying to get the work done.
Why does everybody have to work in accounting?"
I'm not even an accountant. I work in operations.
Do you know how many like eons we could set back the human race if this show was able to somehow communicate with like a dolphin and an octopus, and we were the representatives for the human like species to like communicate
Hello,
with the animals?
Brandon's wearing extra limbs to like talk to the octopus. Like,
why doesn't that one have a mustache anymore?
Don't worry. Don't worry. You guys, it'll be cool. Once we introduce him to Cage, everything will be all right.
You come in, your wife's just punching an octopus. Like, get out
Welcome
of my
to
house,
Earth.
Dolphin's like, you got any weed?
Yeah, like... Hey, I'm into edibles. You got any of that? Or like, what's going on?
You guys, is it just because of that one South Park episode where like the cows are the smartest animals on the earth that I'm thinking that so cows good. Are smart? Or are cows actually smart?
No.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Cows
I'm
are as smart
glad.
As dogs.
Yeah, cows are like sentient. They like they are aware of their existence, but also not smart.
Yeah, they're like dogs. I heard that cows were basically as smart as like golden retrievers. So they're on the smarter end of like that whole little spectrum of dogs.
Wait a second. Wait. Does that mean we could make golden retriever sliders?
Make it worse. Starring your friend Gregor. Yes, golden retriever sliders. And see, then you start getting into like the finer palate, the gourmet with like a French bulldog.
Oh, man. You want something that ideally doesn't have good access to like move around so that way it's like lazier and softer, the tissue's better.
The pug.
The
show has reached a new low.
Pitbull meatball. A meatball.
You can have some chihuahua tacos.
A pit ball?
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, everybody.
No, don't be sorry. That's how this goes. That's good. You know, most people would use it as a stereotype for some other people, but instead we're like owning it for ourselves, and I think that's good. We're balancing the playing field here. This is a struggle I have because you start asking questions like that. Well, are cows smart, or what's going on there? And you start thinking about these things, and it's like, all of these animals run for their lives. They don't just stand there and I walk up with like a fork and knife and start cutting away and like, oh, I'm going to eat this. And they're like, oh, something's hurting me. Like, they're smart enough to like, you know, fend for themselves. And I don't know the ethics behind it or really the full science.
You're taking a bite out of a cow that's just standing there?
Yeah, I mean, that's not ethically probably very good. But, you know.
Or very tasty.
My idea, though, being that, well, it's tartar. Like, it's like... Yeah. Anyway... The point being that, like, when I start thinking about this stuff, I'm like, oh, I gotta stop eating animals, dude. That sucks. And then I'm like, I am so hungry, and Wendy's is, like, right there.
And animals are delicious.
And the Baconator has every animal on it.
Even orca cheese.
Yeah, and so it's like, do I really want to stop eating sushi, especially when it's free tomorrow? Like, no.
Wait,
but also,
sushi?
Like, yeah, it's a whole thing. I can't get into it.
Oh my god, you're gonna hit us in the chat afterwards.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll tell you guys offline. But it's like too big of a bummer. Other than that, so yeah. Anyway, the idea of like stop eating it. Would you ever stop eating animals? Like when you think about this stuff, does this ever cross your mind?
Yeah, all the time.
Except for those goddamn turkeys.
Yeah,
get over here.
The turkeys are lucky that I don't like turkey. Because
right?
Yeah. I do think about it. I'm always like, oh man, like if you think about because I love every time I see a there's lots of cows and stuff where I live, and you kind of live in a more rural, on the edge of a more rural area too, Gregor, and
well, not like, anymore. I mean, I live in the central district.
Oh, you
district,
did?
So.
Yeah, yeah. Not, I guess not anymore.
I did though for a long time. Yeah. I would see cows and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so every time I like love them. Like you go pet them and you go hug them and you like
grow mushrooms in their turds. And
yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah. And I'm always like, oh man, I couldn't even like possibly imagine eating you until like immediately when I get home and I'm like, I'm making prime rib for Christmas. And I'm like, I know that it's absolutely hypocritical, but also I don't
Life
care.
Life is a simulation, bro. Yeah. Like it doesn't, none of this matters.
Yeah.
It's just like when you're gone, it's over. Yeah. So eat some cows and kick some kids. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
It's better than the other way around.
Than kicking a cow and eating kids.
Yeah,
I mean, how now do you it is, but in like 50 years, it won't. Like, no one will remember you. Like, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Who's that guy that ate his kids? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. We seem to remember the pretty bad people, so I feel like we're gonna remember the guy that does that.
Like, name the kid, the lady that drowned her kids, that then got off for it because the science cleared her name. Right, see, she drowned four kids, and it's like, then...
But they cleared her name, like, so who cares?
Right, I'm just saying that, like, it's bad at the time. I'm not,
I mean,
advocating
okay,
for
not who cares, like, the
kids,
that, like, that's sad.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
Saying, yeah, okay.
But this is for... tongue-in-cheek, of course,
sure,
but also,
yeah.
Like, I'm, like, ultimately, you gotta be, like, real bad for people to remember. You know, people don't even talk crap about George Bush anymore. That guy was,
that's
like,
true.
The devil.
I mean, you haven't seen some of some of my group chats.
Okay. Like, I saw someone making fun of Reagan today, and I was like, dude, come on. Like,
you guys remember Taft's policies?
Woodrow Wilson, that like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, most of us can't even name half of the presidents, like, let alone, like, the... Who's the guy that got... The evil leader that got stabbed in the butthole a bunch of times with a knife. Do you guys remember?
Concho!
Wait, no.
Wait, for the last
See?
Time, Gregor, that's not
I remember because it's hilarious.
That's not a corn dog.
It was Gaddafi, just for the record. Just
oh.
It's not hilarious that a guy got stabbed in the butt by a knife.
I didn't know that's,
I didn't know
how,
that's
happened.
How it happened.
Yeah, he was when they caught him and killed him, they didn't just kill him. They were like, well, first we're going to poke a giant knife into your body.
Yikes.
I don't know if they went that far. I think they just like Jennifer Connelly. They had another end of the knife.
See, that's what we get for watching the mainstream media and their propaganda.
No, thank you.
Nobody gives you the details. Like Gregor and Nerd Talk Plus.
He could be making today. All of this up.
I am not. I mean, the double-ended knife and two dudes thing I made up, but the part where Gaddafi got murdered in the butt is like a real thing. That's like, so man. You got to be that bad. It's got to go that bad. Eat your kid. Yeah, that's not good. Like it ruins some lives, obviously.
But if you
but
get
in 100
like
years,
that,
no one's going to be like,
you,
like, you don't know who
Gaddafi
hit
level.
You don't know who hid that gun in your wall. Like, no one's worried about that.
Hey,
that probably killed some people.
That could have been. It could have been innocently left in the wall, for all we know.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
They could have just been like, "I need to nail this nail into this thing, and I don't have a hammer. Let me shoot the nail into the wall." And then they went up to get a sandwich, and then they came downstairs and they put the drywall up. And they were like, where's my gun hammer? And then they couldn't find
Yeah, that
it.
Seems exactly like what happened. I think you're 100% right.
I'm just saying, Occam's razor, man. It's the simplest explanation.
Yes, sorry. My explanation was much more complicated. You're right.
You're going to have to take this gun out of my cold, dead wall.
So somehow a tomato went missing on the International Space Station.
Oh,
did you guys
my
see
God.
About this? I guess... I have to actually give this some context. It was the first ever grown from a seed and harvested tomato from the International Space Station. The first time we've ever
sentient.
Done that in near zero G. All right. And so they like grew a little cherry tomato and they had a few of them. And each of the astronauts on board got to have one of them. But the very first one ever, I don't know the astronaut's name. I can't remember. But he picked it and put it in a little baggie. And then, you know, if you live in no gravity, if you look away for a minute, stuff just floats away. Well, this tomato disappeared. And for 8 months, it went missing, and no one knew where it was. And I was like, how big is the space station where you can't find a freaking tomato? Like, it's in a baggie and everything. So I did a little research. The space station is 2,600, like, the size of a 2,600-square-foot house. But every wall, including the ceiling, is covered with stuff. Because it's you fill up the volume of the place, too, because you float. And so you can make the space way more useful to people. And so there's a lot more places for things to hide.
Make the space more
useful. So, so NASA was like, hey, guys, whatever you do, don't eat those tomatoes. Because we don't know about how fungus contamination works up there and stuff. And we don't want you to eat them. But also the astronauts were like, okay. And so everyone was saying to the guy.
Tomatoes? Don't eat the fresh tomatoes or the ones that they lost. Or both.
The fresh tomatoes. When they grew them and they picked them, they said, don't eat these tomatoes because they like, were like, we don't know.
They were like, I'm sorry, what?
What now? Guys, like, already made ketchup out of it? Like, what?
This just reminds me of that movie Life again with Ryan Reynolds. It's unbelievable. Like, where that little thing just, like, starts killing people.
Haven't seen it.
We also grew this chip.
I know I made you Google it.
Where'd this salsa come from?
Weird. Now the idea is
now
that
I have to eat as many of them as I can in 1 minute.
The idea is that if they get sick up there, there's no like astronaut ambulance. You're just like, it's like a big problem. So they don't want them ingesting variables that they can't control. And I get that. That makes sense or whatever, because it's far away.
How many days has it been since we've sharded in the space station?
You probably can't have IBS in space. That sucks.
No, I mean, they got suction toilets. I think that's fine.
Well, yeah, but like,
one of my son's favorite things when we go to the Kennedy Space Center is they have the mock-up of the actual toilet that they have in the International Space Station.
Do you get to use it? Do you get to use it?
Kind of. You can sit on it, and it's got, I did not know this, but it's got a camera
got a knife
inside of it.
In your
Get off me.
It's got a camera in the bowl so you can tell when you've actually finished, because apparently you can't feel that in zero gravity. So my son loves to sit on it and laugh and point at himself in the camera above going, ha, 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 that's my butt.
Sure. That's why the camera's in the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one, NASA.
Now, when you said you were at Kennedy, was it the Kennedy Space Center in Libya? Is that where the knifing was happening?
Or, yes.
Okay. That's his favorite space center. It's very strange. I was like, we have one right here. But,
I was
okay.
Like, seriously, dude, it's like a couple hours away. You make us fly over to the Middle East?
Well, it's for the it's hot. Never mind. I'm going to stop. It's your child. I'm just going to leave it there.
No,
move on.
Trust me. My child is much more mature, quote unquote.
Whatever that means, right?
Yeah, right.
So this tomato, the guy who grew it, and they gave him the honor of having the first one or whatever, everyone just teased him because they assumed he just ignored NASA and ate it because it's a stupid thing that they told him not to do. And he was insistent that he didn't eat it. So he's back on Earth, and months later, they find the plastic bag with the shriveled up little tomato inside of it that has rotted and turned black or whatever as it's floating around. Clearing his name and making him back into the national icon that he deserves to be or whatever. NASA didn't say at the time of writing this where they found it, though. There was no extra information that was presented to be like, also it was, you know, stuck in the suction toilet or whatever. It was just a mystery thing. So I don't know if they're hiding something from us or if someone was playing an awesome prank on the guy, because that's hilarious. Space pranks must be the best. So
what if it did... Let's see. How long does it take to grow a cherry tomato? Because
3 months.
Okay, about 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, so
right?
They could.
Because if you plant them in May and you pick them in August.
Yeah, but we're talking about space. So could it take a little bit longer? Like, could it take about eight months?
No, less time. to grow that?
They're like, oh, we found it right here.
Yeah, there. What do you know? It's still good. Weird.
It's still good. Weird. Hey, it was here the whole time, you guys.
Meanwhile, astronaut Stevens has like a tomato stain spot on his like.
He's wearing the white undershirt with just like pizza stains all over it. What?
How'd you get mustard on there? What kind of space bachelor are you?
I brought it from home like this.
I gotta get back to my cab.
We know that's not the same tomato we saw through the toilet camera.
Gross.
Wait, you guys have been watching that? Yeah, we stream it on Twitch.
Yeah, we jerk off to it every day. What do you think?
We're gonna put it as the extra window here on the podcast.
We're on right after chess.
I think they do stream on Twitch, actually. I think NASA's on Twitch. I gotta check that out to see if we can get some.
It's like
action.
NASA After Dark is just astronauts.
They put an extra S in NASA.
Yeah.
We put the ass in astronauts. Oh my god. Okay, well.
Backdoor astronauts 9.
Ah, das ist gut.
It's always dark in space.
All right, fellas, one more thing here. This is specifically about how dinosaurs were savage AF, we'll say, because I'm trying not to swear. Dirt-digging dinosaur discoverers, paleontologists as we call them, found a fossil of a tyrannosaurid, that's a type of theropod, that contained the bones of other baby dinosaurs in its preserved in stone belly.
What?
The Gorgosaur, or as we'll be calling it from here on out, the Gorgosaur.
Yes.
Apparently fancied himself some drumsticks, gobbled up them babies like Brandon, and then went on to die before he could barf the bones back up.
Mm.
So, as far as I'm concerned, some dinosaurs were pretty freaking metal back in
the
day.
Wait, so that dinosaur is like those owls?
Yeah. Yeah.
It needs to spit up its pellet.
Does it have a butthole?
The cloaca, bro. Side note, this is alligator specific, so it plays into this pod pretty well, but... Miles Montgomery from the men's room on 99.9 KSW, he posted a picture the other day. He's one of those people that insists on sticking his tongue out in every picture, and he's like a 50-something-year-old man, and it's very off-putting. But anyway, sorry, Miles, I don't mean to make fun of you. That's not what I was setting out for, because he posted a picture with him and this hot chick, and so I click through because I'm a creep, and I get to her page, and she's a leather worker, and she specifically works an alligator. And like, I know a thing or two about alligator skins from Cape Ferrari, obviously.
Hell yeah.
And it takes three full-size alligators to make one pair of boots, okay? So it's like a arduous process, and Brandon's done some leather work before. It seems a little extreme that if someone wants boots, you have to kill three alligators. That seems pretty messed up. But
Brandon's leather work is a little bit different than the kind of leather work that we're talking about here, though.
I'm using human skin.
This is something Brandon made me. Look what I still have.
What?
Brandon made that for me. It's got my little notepad in there. I took it to my voice acting classes. Yeah, it's good.
Wow.
So I just have this little mask with a zipper on the mouth.
Now, she doesn't have any of that posted, but that doesn't mean she doesn't do
it.
Out
of alligator skin? Ooh.
So I start clicking through, and one of the things that she has, which was then later confirmed to me by Miles when he held up his own version of it, is that she makes wallets, and she makes the butthole into one of the sides of the wallet.
Yes!
So when you look at your wallet, you see an alligator, you know, whatever
that
eye shape cut out right there. Because, of course, alligators have pee and poop out of the same hole like other reptiles do, too. So, just long story short, if you ever need a butthole wallet, alligator butthole wallet, I got you.
Yo,
I'm not going to pay for it, but I know where you can go. Yeah, I'm on it. Now, when we start, you know, trying to Jurassic Park dinosaurs back into existence, like, obviously we want Gorgosaurs, because that's hilarious. But, like, how do you think it affects us to have something that can eat us and, you know, bite off our legs and then barf them back up later?
Here's the thing. Okay. I got really excited. It's gonna be very
those
bad.
Nipples.
It's gonna be very bad for us. Yeah, sorry, I'll put my shirt back on. It's gonna be really hard to put my shirt back on with my nipples this erect. They're very long. He can
play chopsticks with his chopstick nipples. Damn it.
You can hang keys off them.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. we started out this episode talking about how we are making robots that are making robots that are making robots. And then now we're talking about Jurassic Parking these dinosaurs back into real life. So here's the thing. We are all going to die. And the human species is just done for because of what did you learn this week? we are creating the best movie of all time, but in real life, robots versus dinosaurs. And
for sure.
And the dinosaurs can make more dinosaurs because they'll smash, and they're not going to all be female. And so, like, I say that because I'm a misogynist. No, because they are in because that's what they do in Jurassic Park. They try to make them all female.
But hold on one second. I've got a point to put out here. To make it more fair, I think that we should bring the dinosaurs back using the same AI sequence that we tell the robots to use, so that way robots are creating new dinosaurs to kill robots.
Dude. Whoa!
And what if, and like, even the new dinosaurs that they create in the Jurassic Park, like the bigger, badder, they're like, the most that they can imagine is
androgynous,
like,
Rex.
How about a T-Rex, but bigger, though? You know? It's like, what about like a T-Rex with, oh, that's just a dragon. Tentacles?
So
cross it with a raptor and add octopus to its face.
Jeez, Cage, you're out of control, man.
Don't you tell me who's in control.
Like a pterodactyl Rex?
Yes.
Whoa.
With octopus arms.
Oh, dude.
Oh my god.
A flying octopus? That's not, so what kind of robot stops that? One with lasers, obviously.
Well, why did we breed lasers into the dinosaurs?
A dinosaur with lasers, yeah.
It'd be like, oh,
hold on. You're crossing the teams then. It's gotta be, that has to happen organically. There has to be like a third team that's like, what if we did this?
Listen, it's natural. It's in history. We saw it in Kung Fury with the laser raptors. It can happen.
Okay, first.
I mean, I didn't realize you were bringing sources to this argument. That's incredible.
We've brought in dinosaurs and we've brought in robots. It's only fair that in order to finish the Rampage trifecta that we bring in
Kung Fury.
We bring in monkeys and create a King Kong.
We're going to King Kong this thing.
It's going to be Kaiju. It's going to be Godzilla.
The third sector is just Kaiju.
Godzilla versus
Kaiju. Oh, okay,
okay. Okay, well, I think we've just created a hit movie.
Okay, who wins, though? No, but this is going to be real life, though, because
nobody wins in real life, Brandon.
Okay, no, we all lose, but of the, I think robots. I think the robots will win.
I think that the humans somehow... I think Godzilla wins. Obviously, shows up and puts a stop to all of it.
I mean,
Godzilla can beat Mecha Godzilla. Like, get out of here, robots, dinosaurs. You're all dumb.
T-1000 ain't got nothing on.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah, I'd like to see the T-1000 fight Godzilla. Good luck, you dummy.
Keep turning into
robot
stupid
apocalypse.
Mercury, water, whatever.
Dude, at the end, you just all of a sudden, it's like there's a giant earthquake because Godzilla rises from the sea, a tsunami or something like that. Yeah, the humans are screwed, the robots are screwed, the dinosaurs are screwed, the kaiju, that's, I guess, the kaiju tie-in. Yeah. The monkeys are screwed.
The octopus are all looking at each other, be like, you guys hear? Like, yeah, I haven't heard from the humans. I haven't heard from the humans
the
in a
giant
while.
Squid underneath.
I think everything might
be on all the remains. That's it.
Like, I think all the humans might be gone. I think we could probably just like head up and take back the world now. And then they come up and they see all this happening and they're just like, oh my God, come on, man. And then they have to go back in the water and wait another 100 million years.
The ocean retakes the planet.
I kind of like the idea that Godzilla smashes everything up and then he gets to the octopus and he has like reverence for them because the humans have also done, like the whales and the octopods are like the homies of Godzilla because he feels some sort, like, he has no actual friends, obviously, because he's a monster.
Mutual but respect.
There's just that whatever that Japanese honor is, like, he there's respect there. Yeah. Okay.
Especially,
well, let's get writing
a
screenplay.
With the giant Loch Ness monster dong.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, that brings us to a conclusion of another action-packed episode. I guess it's time to ask the big question. What did we learn this week? After all, this is a heady show. We'll start with you, Brandon. What did you learn this week?
Guys, I learned that my wife has the coolest alter ego, and it made me so... I mean, let's be real. I'm turned on by Cage.
Isn't there a Mortal Kombat guy called Cage, like Johnny Cage?
Yes,
like
I think it's Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
I think you see his nipples, so that's good.
You do. Isn't he shirtless?
Yeah. I think so.
Black pants, yep. And like white sneakers, because that was a thing.
A rancid song.
Yeah, that's like I swear, like, I just want to listen to them. That music that they used for the opening title slide of that movie that you were in, Siege. I just want to listen to that song again. As I was listening to it, I was like, there's a million bands that this sounds like, and it sounds like they're all playing at the exact same time.
Yes. The Italian pirate.
I was like, so I had this buddy. I had this buddy in college named Tyler Decker, and he would always show up. He's just like this very like chunky ginger man with pirate tattoos all over his body, and he was just really into like basically that music. And he would always roll up to my house to pick me up to go somewhere, usually to gamble. And he would roll up to my house, and he would just be blasting that music from his car. And I'm like, this is gonna be terrible. And we would lose like $200 when I had $0 to lose. And then, because I just discovered credit cards, we would go buy like a $40 steak to like pretend like we didn't just lose a bunch of money. So that's what, just so you know, you brought up a lot of feelings for me, Siege. Siege, what'd you learn this week?
Me? Well, I learned that you're married to Kurt Russell. And the two of you, geez.
I wish.
And the two of you start the regeneration of the robots that takes down the planet. Serg, what did you learn this week?
That the ISS is waiting to stab you in the butthole.
I thought that was ISIS.
Nerd talk, nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah.
So thank you for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus. This is interesting because the live element of the show after this week, I don't think we'll actually ever do it again. I think it's over now. And so this will exist only as a podcast, which doesn't really change our lives very much other than we have more open timing to do these things and have fun with it. But thanks for all the support. But basically what it came down to is I was constantly stressed about not wanting to do social. The live streaming portion has not been a wild success. And I would like freak out because I wasn't doing enough social media support. And it was like, is this my fault? I invalidate myself, these types of things, right? And so I talked to my friend who also happens to be the one in charge of that program, but I forgot. And she was talking to me about a different program, which I thought was the live streaming one. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad that that thing is ending because it brings me tremendous stress. And I feel like I'm letting everyone down in this. And she was like, Greg, I'm not actually talking about what you think I'm talking about. I'm talking about this other thing. And I was like, oh, that other thing I haven't been doing. And she was like, do you not want to do the live streaming thing anymore? And I was like, not really. It's not very convenient. And it brings me a lot of stress. And she's like, okay, well, that's done. And I was like, hooray. So now we can just do this at whatever stupid time and however dumb we want it to be. And if there's drinking involved, fine. And if it's a little raunchier, that's fine too. And it's like, it just opens us up to have a little bit more fun. So if you have listened to the Odyssey app for us streaming, I'm super grateful for that. It means a lot that you followed our socials to get there and whatnot. And if you just listen as a podcast, hey, thanks. You've just been doing this on your own account anytime. I just ask that if you could check us out on nerdtalkplus.com and potentially even help us out with a review. Oh, I mentioned about that review. We should check that out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's just, it's been really fun, and we're really grateful, and now we'll just keep doing the same thing, and thanks for streaming us from whatever podcast player you have, or from the Odyssey app, which would be great for me personally, but whatever, however you get it, we're cool with that. And thanks to these gentlemen here for the last couple of years of streaming this thing live, and now it'll just be a pod, and we won't screw up and call it a podcast when it's not that, and all these other things. So before we go, Siege, I think you have a review maybe there?
Yes, just because of our squash brains that does not fire on all synapses, we can't remember if we ever read this or not. But this was a very sweet one, and it was a very good one, and we appreciate it very much. From Chode Munch 122.
Great.
It's 5 stars, titled Turd Knock. I've never been a podcast person. I have the attention span of a gnat on crack on a good day, but A pal of mine recommended Nerd Talk to me, knowing full well that I am a biochemist with a deranged sense of humor, a goofy nerd by character and by trade. So I decided to give it a shot, and man, I absolutely loved it. I played it on my commute home from an incredibly intense and difficult day at work on Monday, and it not only enticed the scientist in me, but also made me cackle laughing, legitimately turned my day around. Absolutely love these guys. You've gained yourself a fan in me. Prayer hands.
Do you know this person, Siege?
I do believe I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Suddenly this all becomes a little more like the my brain caught up 17 hours later where I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I see what's going on here. Brandon, you look like you just got cut.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, but we have it here. It's okay.
Oh, really?
I have a backup.
Oh, okay.
Did Cage enter the room?
Yeah, no, I thought you were in trouble.
Like, my recording...
Suddenly Brandon started giving us the murder me, cut it off, and I'm like, uh-oh.
No, something happened on my with my headphones, and so it cut off.
You washed them?
Yeah, probably. it automatically paused my recording, and so then I hit to re-record, but it started recording for a different place, and so it started overdubbing all of the stuff that... Not overdubbing, that's not...
Yeah.
I wasn't like... doing subtitles for
while we were recording. I actually got a bunch of messages from people who were listening to the last episode about Godzilla and stuff. So
yes.
Talking about did you guys get to see it on the 170 degree screen? No.
What is that?
Amazing.
I want that.
That's it's like a like one of those circle screens, like almost IMAX, where you can look to the sides and see the stuff going on. That sounds incredible.
Mm. I think I know where one of those is. I'll talk to Cool Keith about that because I want to see that.
Yeah, I gotta
figure out a time to go because, like, maybe I'll go this weekend because I really want to see it because everyone that who I like is saying that it's awesome. That
it is
what I like,
so good. It is so good. I've seen it 3 times now.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so anyway, thanks everyone for leaving the comments. That type of stuff really helps us a lot, and we're really grateful for that. And Brandon still looks very confused. I don't know what his problem is this time. So somehow a tomato went missing on the International Space Station.
Oh,
you guys
my
see
God.
About this? I guess I have to actually give this some context. It was the first ever grown from a seed and harvested tomato from the International Space Station. The first time we've ever
sentient.
Done that in near zero G. All right, and so they like grew a little cherry tomato, and they had a few of them, and each of the astronauts on board got to have one of them. But the very first one ever, I don't know the astronaut's name, I can't remember, but he
Ryan
picked
Reynolds.
It and put it in a little baggie, and then, you know, if you live in no gravity, if you look away for a minute, stuff just floats away. Well, this tomato disappeared, and for 8 months it went missing, and no one knew where it was. And I was like, how big is the space station where you can't find a freaking tomato? Like, it's in a baggie and everything. So I did a little research. The space station is 2,600, like the size of a 2,600 square foot house, but every wall, including the ceiling, is covered with stuff because it's you fill up the volume of the place too because you float, and so you can make the space way more useful to people. And so there's a lot more places for things to hide.
Make the space more
useful. So. NASA was like, hey guys, whatever you do, don't eat those tomatoes because we don't know about how fungus contamination works up there and stuff, and we don't want you to eat them. But also the astronauts were like, okay. And so everyone was saying to the guy,
don't eat the fresh tomatoes or the ones that they lost or both.
The fresh tomatoes. When they grew them and they picked them, they said, don't eat these tomatoes because
they were like,
we don't know.
They were like, I'm sorry, what?
What now? The guys like already made ketchup out of it? Like, what?
This just reminds me of that movie Life Again with Ryan Reynolds. It's unbelievable. Like, where that little thing just like starts killing people.
Haven't seen it.
We also grew this chip.
I know I made you Google it.
Where'd this salsa come from?
Weird. Now, the idea is
now I have to eat as many of them as I can in 1 minute.
The idea is that if they get sick up there, there's no like. Astronaut ambulance, you're just like, it's like a big problem. So they don't want them ingesting variables that they can't control. And I get that. That makes sense or whatever, because it's far away.
How many days has it been since we've sharded in the space station?
You probably can't have IBS in space. That sucks.
No, I mean, they got suction toilets. I think that's fine.
Well, yeah, dude, but like...
One of my son's favorite things when we go to the Kennedy Space Center is they have the mock-up of the actual toilet that they have in the International Space Station.
Do you get to use it?
Kind of. You can sit on it, and it's got I did not know this, but it's got a camera inside of it. In your butthole.
Get off me.
It's got a camera in the bowl so you can tell when you're when you've actually finished, because apparently you can't feel that in zero gravity. So my son loves to sit on it and laugh and point at himself in the camera above going, ha, 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 that's my butt. Sure.
That's why the camera's in the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one, NASA.
Now, when you said you were at Kennedy, was it the Kennedy Space Center in Libya? Is that where the knifing was happening?
Or, yes. Okay.
That's his favorite space center. It's very strange. I was like, we have one right here. But, I was okay.
Like, seriously, dude, it's like a couple hours away. You make us fly over to the Middle East?
Yeah. Well, it's for the it's hot. Never mind. I'm going to stop. It's your child. I'm just going to leave it there.
No,
move on.
Trust me. My child is much more mature, quote unquote.
Whatever that means, right?
Yeah, right.
So this the tomato, the guy who grew it, and they gave him the honor of having the first one or whatever, everyone just teased him because they assumed he just ignored NASA and ate it because it's a stupid thing that they told him not to do. And he was insistent that he didn't eat it. So he's back on Earth, and months later, they find the plastic bag with the shriveled up little tomato inside of it that has rotted and turned black or whatever as it's floating around. Clearing his name and making him back into the national icon that he deserves to be or whatever. NASA didn't say at the time of writing this where they found it, though. There was no extra information that was presented to be like, also it was, you know, stuck in the suction toilet or whatever. It was just a mystery thing. So I don't know if they're hiding something from us or if someone was playing an awesome prank on the guy, because that's hilarious. Space pranks must be the best. So
what if it did... let's see. How long does it take to grow a cherry tomato? Because
3 months.
Okay, about 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, so
right?
They could.
Because if you plant them in May and you pick them in August.
Yeah, but we're talking about space. So could it take a little bit longer? Like, could it take about eight months?
No, less time. to grow that?
They're like, oh, we found it right here.
Yeah, there. How do you know? It's still good. Weird.
It's still good. Weird. Hey, it was here the whole time, you guys.
Meanwhile, astronaut Stevens has like a tomato stain spot on his like.
He's wearing the white undershirt with just like pizza stains all over it. What?
How'd you get mustard on there? What kind of space bachelor are you?
I brought it from home like this.
I gotta get back to my cab.
We know that's not the same tomato we saw through the toilet camera.
Gross.
Wait, you guys have been watching that? Yeah, we stream it on Twitch.
Yeah, we jerk off to it every day. What do you think?
We're gonna put it as the extra window here on the podcast.
We're on right after chess.
I think they do stream on Twitch, actually. I think NASA's on Twitch. I gotta check that out to see if we can get some.
It's like
action.
NASA After Dark is just astronauts.
They put an extra S in NASA.
Yeah.
We put the ass in astronauts. Oh my god. Okay, well.
Backdoor Astronauts 9.
Ah, das ist gut.
It's always dark in space.
All right, fellas, one more thing here. This is specifically about how dinosaurs were savage AF, we'll say, because I'm trying not to swear. Dirt-digging dinosaur discoverers, paleontologists as we call them, found a fossil of a tyrannosaurid, that's a type of theropod, that contained the bones of other baby dinosaurs in its preserved in stone belly.
What?
The Gorgosaur, or as we'll be calling it from here on out, the Gorgosaur.
Yes.
Apparently fancied himself some drumsticks, gobbled up them babies like Brandon, and then went on to die before he could barf the bones back up. So, as far as I'm concerned, some dinosaurs were pretty freaking metal back in the
day. Wait, so that dinosaur is like those owls?
Yeah.
It needs to spit up its pellet.
Does it have a butthole?
A cloaca, bro. Side note, this is alligator specific, so it plays into this pod pretty well, but... Miles Montgomery from the men's room on 99.9 KSW, he posted a picture the other day. He's one of those people that insists on sticking his tongue out in every picture, and he's like a 50-something-year-old man, and it's very off-putting. Mm. But anyway, sorry, Miles, I don't mean to make fun of you. That's not what I was setting out for, because he posted a picture with him and this hot chick, And so I click through because I'm a creep, and I get to her page, and she's a leather worker, and she specifically works an alligator. I'm like, I know a thing or two about alligator skins from Cape Ferrari, obviously.
Hell yeah.
And it takes three full-size alligators to make one pair of boots, okay? So it's like a arduous process, and Brandon's done some leather work before. It seems a little extreme that if someone wants boots, you have to kill three alligators. That seems pretty messed up.
But Brandon's leather work is a little bit different than the kind of leather work that we're talking about here, though.
I'm using human skin.
This is something Brandon made me. Look what I still have.
What?
Brandon made that for me. It's got my little notepad in there. I took it to my voice acting classes. Yeah, it's good.
Wow.
So I just have this little mask with a zipper on the mouth.
Now, she doesn't have any of that posted, but that doesn't mean she doesn't do
it.
Out
of alligator skin? Ooh.
So I start clicking through, and one of the things that she has, which was then later confirmed to me by Miles when he held up his own version of it, is that she makes wallets, and she makes the butthole into one of the sides of the wallet.
Yes!
So when you look at your wallet, you see an alligator, you know, whatever
that
eye shape cut out right there. Because, of course, alligators have pee and poop out of the same hole like other reptiles do, too. So, just long story short, if you ever need a butthole wallet, alligator butthole wallet, I got you. Yo, I'm not going to pay for it, but I know where you can go. Yeah, I'm on it. Now, when we start, you know, trying to Jurassic Park dinosaurs back into existence, like, obviously we want Gorgosaurs, because that's hilarious. But, like, how do you think it affects us to have something that could eat us and, you know, bite off our legs and then barf them back up later?
Here's the thing. Okay. I got really excited. It's gonna be it's gonna be very
those
bad.
Nipples.
It's gonna be very bad for us. Yeah, sorry, I put my shirt back on. It's gonna be really hard to put my shirt back on with my nipples this erect. They're very long.
He can play chopsticks with his chopstick nipples.
We can hang keys off them.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. We started out this episode talking about how we are making robots that are making robots that are making robots. And then now we're talking about Jurassic Parking these dinosaurs back into real life. So here's the thing. We are all going to die. And the human species is just done for.
The
end. Because of... what did you learn this week? we are creating the best movie of all time, but in real life. Robots versus dinosaurs. And,
yeah, for sure.
And the dinosaurs can make more dinosaurs because they'll smash, and they're not going to all be female. And so, like, I say that because I'm a misogynist. No, because they are in... because that's what they do in Jurassic Park. They try to make them all female.
But hold on one second. I've got a point to put out here. To make it more fair, I think that we should bring the dinosaurs back using the same AI sequence that we tell the robots to use, so that way... robots are creating new dinosaurs to kill robots.
Dude. Whoa!
And what if, and like, even the new dinosaurs that they create in the Jurassic Park, like the bigger, badder, they're like, the most that they can imagine is
androgynous,
like,
Rex.
How about a T-Rex, but bigger, though? You know? It's like, what about like a T-Rex with, oh, that's just a dragon. What about tentacles?
So,
and add octopus to its face.
Jeez, Cage, you're out of control, man.
Don't you tell me who's in control.
Like a pterodactyl Rex?
Yes.
Whoa!
With octopus arms.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
A flying octopus? So what kind of robot stops that? One with lasers, obviously.
Lasers
into the dinosaurs.
A dinosaur with lasers, yeah.
It'd be like,
hold on, you're crossing the teams then. It's that has to happen organically. There has to be like a third team that's like, what if we did this?
Listen, it's natural, it's in history. We saw it in Kung Fury with the laser raptors. It can happen.
Okay, first.
I mean, I didn't realize you were bringing sources to this argument. That's incredible.
We've brought in dinosaurs and we've brought in robots. It's only fair that in order to finish the Rampage trifecta that we bring in
Kung Fury.
We bring in monkeys and create a King Kong.
We're going to King Kong this thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be Kaiju. It's going to be Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just,
Okay. Okay, well, I think we've just created a hit movie.
Okay, who wins, though? No, like, but this is going to be real life, though, because...
Nobody wins in real life, Brandon.
Okay, no, we all lose, but of the... I think robots. I think the robots will win.
I think that the humans somehow... I think Godzilla wins. Obviously, yeah, Godzilla shows up and puts a stop to all of it.
I mean,
if
he
Godzilla
regenerates.
Can beat Mechagodzilla, like, get out of here, robots, dinosaurs, you're all dumb.
T-1000 ain't got nothing on.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. I'd like to see the T-1000 fight Godzilla. Good luck, you dummy.
Keep turning into
robot
stupid
apocalypse.
Mercury, water, whatever.
Dude, at the end, you just all of a sudden, it's like there's a giant earthquake because Godzilla rises from the sea, a tsunami or something like that. Yeah, the humans are screwed. The robots are screwed. The dinosaurs are screwed. The kaiju. That's, I guess, the kaiju tie-in. Yeah. The monkeys are screwed.
The octopus are all looking at each other, be like, "You guys hear? Like, yeah, I haven't heard from the humans. I haven't heard from the humans.
The
in a
giant
while. Like,
squid underneath.
I think everything might
on
be
on all the remains. That's it.
Like, I think all the humans might be gone. I think we could probably just like head up and take back the world now. And then they come up and they see all this happening, and they're just like, "Oh my god, come on, man!" And then they have to go back in the water and wait another 100 million years.
The ocean retakes the planet.
I kind of like the idea that Godzilla smashes everything up and then he gets to the octopus and he has like reverence for them because the humans have also done like the whales and the octopods are like the homies of Godzilla because he feels some sort like he has no actual friends, obviously, because he's a monster.
Mutual respect.
There's just that he out of whatever that Japanese honor is, like he there's respect there. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Especially
well, let's get
to the orca with the giant Loch Ness monster dong.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, that brings us to a conclusion of another action-packed episode. I guess it's time to ask the big question. What did we learn this week? After all, this is a heady show. We'll start with you, Brandon. What did you learn this week?
Guys, I learned that my wife has the coolest alter ego, and it made me so... I mean, let's be real. I'm turned on by Cage.
Isn't there a Mortal Kombat guy called Cage, like Johnny Cage?
Yes,
like
I think it's Johnny Cage.
Yeah,
I think you see his nipples, so that's good.
You do, isn't he shirtless? Yes.
I think so.
Black pants, yep, and like white sneakers, because that was a thing.
A rancid song.
That's like I just want to listen to them. That music that they used for the opening title slide of that movie that you were in, Siege. I just want to listen to that song again. As I was listening to it, I was like, there's a million bands that this sounds like, and it sounds like they're all playing at the exact same time.
Yes. The Italian pirate.
I was like, so I had metal. I had this buddy in college named Tyler Decker, and he would always show up. He's just like this very like chunky ginger man with pirate tattoos all over his body, and he was just really into like basically that music, and he would always roll up to my house to pick me up to go somewhere, usually to gamble, and he would roll up to my house and he would just be blasting that music from his car, and I'm like, this is gonna be terrible. And we would lose like $200 when I had $0 to lose, and then because I just discovered credit cards, we would go buy like a $40 steak to like pretend like we didn't just lose a bunch of money. So that's what, just so you know, you brought up a lot of feelings for me, Siege. Siege, what'd you learn this week?
Me? Well, I learned that you're married to Kurt Russell, and the two of you...
Geez. I wish.
And the two of you start the regeneration of the robots that takes down the planet. Gerg, what did you learn this week?
That the ISS is waiting to stab you in the butthole.
I thought that was ISIS.
Nerd talk, yeah!
So thank you for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus. This is interesting because the live element of this show after this week, I don't think we'll actually ever do it again. I think it's over now. And so this will exist only as a podcast, which doesn't really change our lives very much other than we have more open timing to do these things and have fun with it. But thanks for all the support. But basically what it came down to is I was constantly stressed about not wanting to do social. It hasn't The live streaming portion has not been a wild success. And I would like freak out because I wasn't doing enough social media support. And it was like, is this my fault? I invalidate myself, these types of things. Right. And so I talked to my friend who also happens to be the one in charge of that program, but I forgot. And she was talking to me about a different program, which I thought was the live streaming one. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad that that thing is ending because it brings me tremendous stress. And I feel like I'm letting everyone down in this. And she was like, Greg, I'm not actually talking about what you think I'm talking about. I'm talking about this other thing. And I was like, oh, that other thing I haven't been doing. And she was like, do you not want to do the live streaming thing anymore? And I was like, not really. It's not very convenient. And it brings me a lot of stress. And she's like, okay, well, that's done. And I was like, hooray. So now we can just do this at whatever stupid time and however dumb we want it to be. And if there's drinking involved, fine. And if it's a little raunchier, that's fine too. And it's like, it just opens us up to have a little bit more fun. So if you have listened to the Odyssey app for us streaming, I'm super grateful for that. It means a lot that you followed our socials to get there and whatnot. And if you just listen as a podcast, hey, thanks. You've just been doing this on your own account anytime. I just ask that if you could check us out on nerdtalkplus.com and potentially even help us out with a review. Oh, I mentioned about that review. We should check that out.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah, it's just, it's been really fun and we're really grateful. And now we'll just keep doing the same thing. And thanks for streaming us from whatever podcast player you have or from the Odyssey app, which would be great for me personally, but whatever, whatever, however you get it, we're cool with that. And thanks to these gentlemen here for the last couple years of streaming this thing live. And now it'll just be a pod and we won't screw up and call it a podcast when it's not that and all these other things. So before we go, Siege, I think you have a review maybe there?
Yes. And just because of our squash brains that that does not fire on all synapses, we can't remember if we ever read this or not. But yeah, this was a very sweet one, and it was a very good one, and we appreciate it very much. From Chode Munch 122.
Great.
It's 5 stars, titled Turd Knock. I've never been a podcast person. I have the attention span of a gnat on crack on a good day, but a pal of mine recommended Nerd Talk to me, knowing full well that I am a biochemist with a deranged sense of humor, a goofy nerd by character and by trade. So I decided to give it a shot, and man, I absolutely loved it. I played it on my commute home from an incredibly intense and difficult day at work on Monday, and it not only enticed the scientist in me, but also made me cackle laughing, legitimately turned my day around. Absolutely love these guys. You've gained yourself a fan in me. Prayer hands.
Hmm. Do you know this person, Siege?
I do believe I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Suddenly this all becomes a little more like my brain caught up 17 hours later where I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I see what's going on here. Brandon, you look like you just got cut.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, but we have it here. It's okay.
Oh, really?
I have a backup.
Oh, okay.
Did Cage enter the room?
Yeah, no, I thought you were in trouble.
Like, my recording.
Suddenly Brandon started giving us the murder me, cut it off, and I'm like, uh-oh.
No, something happened with my headphones, and so it cut off.
You washed them?
Yeah, probably. it automatically paused my recording, and so then I hit re-record, but it started recording for a different place, and so it started overdubbing all of the stuff that, not overdubbing, that's not,
yeah.
I wasn't like doing subtitles for
while we were recording. I actually got a bunch of messages from people who were listening to the last episode about Godzilla and stuff. So
yes.
Talking about did you guys get to see it on the 170 degree screen? No.
What is that?
Amazing. I want that. It's like one of those circle screens, like almost IMAX, where you can look to the sides and see the stuff going on. That sounds incredible.
I think I know where one of those is. I'll talk to Cool Keith about that because I want to see that.
Yeah, I gotta
figure out a time to go because, like, maybe I'll go this weekend because I really want to see it because everyone who I like is saying that it's awesome. That
it is
what I like,
so good. It is so good. I've seen it 3 times now.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so anyway, thanks everyone for leaving the comments. That type of stuff really helps us a lot, and we're really grateful for that. And Brandon still looks very confused. I don't know what his problem is this time.
It's he doesn't have a mustache and he keeps seeing his face.
Oh,
that's what it is. I'm thinking about the turkeys and how disappointed they'll be.
Are you growing it back?
I mean, as quickly as my prepubescent body can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, Spinosaurus doesn't want you to be disappointed in yourself. Spinosaurus loves you.
Oh. It's nice.
Amen.
Amen.